Our reading this morning is a poem by Nancy Schaefer entitled Calling. When you heard that voice and knew finally it called for you and what it was saying, where were you? Were you in the shower, wet and soapy, or chopping cabbage late for dinner? Were you planting radish seeds or seeking one lost sock? Maybe wiping handprints off a window or coaxing words into a sentence or coming upon a hyacinth or one last no. Where were you when you heard that ancient voice? And did yes get born right then? And did you weep? Had it called you since, before you even were? And when you knew that, did your joy escape all holding? Where were you when you heard that calling voice? And how, in that moment, did you mark it? How, ever after, are you changed? Tell us, please, all you can about that voice. Teach us how to listen, how to hear. Teach us all you can of saying yes. This is a personal reaction to this poem. It's a beautiful poem, but it presents the question, what is the voice?
Exactly.
What does it mean?
Precisely.
Personally, I'm listening for a voice that will come and tell me I'm all through, because next week I'm going to be 93 years old. And how many years have you got after 93?
Keep it down. The noisiness of life is loud. It mustn't drown out what we want to hear, what we yearn to hear. Even in quiet New Hampshire, we live with a lot of background noise. We hardly notice the hum of our appliances, heaters, AC, the engine noise of cars and trucks. We do notice motorcycles. We see, but do we notice the loudness of the snowplow, of the garbage truck, of construction work, and the teenager's booming bass the next lane over? Even the bucolic sound of raking out the garden in spring has been replaced by howling leaf blowers. Every day, background noise actually affects our health, our hearing, our stress levels, blood pressure, sleep, our productivity. And many of us add noise to our lives. For hours on end, our radios keep us company with talk, news, analysis, entertainment, sports, music, not to mention the television, movies, and videos. And let's not forget the din in our heads. The mind generates such noise. Who needs a radio with endless wondering, reviewing, planning, worrying, second-guessing, doubting, and debating? That all goes on right here. It's no wonder that the person next to us in line or in your pew can't hear our chattering minds. What if they could? The volume and the amount of noise that we tolerate in our surroundings, the media noise we invite into our cars and our homes, and the constant level of chatter in our heads leave room for little else. Yet we long to hear something else, something other, quieter, something more meaningful than the everyday. The wish to listen and to deepen is part of what draws us to this place on Sunday. We come not only to hear the words and music of worship. We come for more than that. We come to church to quiet down, to let ourselves soften and open up. We come for the chance to pause and listen. Here, Some of us find respite from busy households, from our offices, our places of work. We find refuge from conflicts, from chores, from deadlines. Here we find rest away from the spin, the opinion of the news cycle. Headlines that upset and infuriate, that amuse us, and that break our hearts every day. Here we're spared robocalls, especially this coming time of year. In the quiet of the sanctuary, we breathe a little easier. We find room to be, to listen. Now and then, and we remember these moments so clearly, we'll find ourselves lifted, transported, carried forward somehow. Because there's so much more to take seriously than our busy, noisy lives, isn't there? Our hearts yearn to figure out what matters. We yearn for depth, for purpose, for meaning. And we listen. Listen for possibility, for hope. What are you listening for? What do you long to hear, to know? Find out. What is your hope? Sometimes we talk of hope, meaning a here and now kind of a wish. We hope for a raise. We hope we find a job. We hope our kids find a job. We hope they do well in school. We hope to get along better with someone we're struggling to love or even tolerate. We hope our parents are doing okay. We hope for healing. We hope for an end to a rough patch. We hope that relief is coming. But the hope we listen for when we step away from the noise of our lives is a little different. The poet Emily Dickinson famously called hope the thing with feathers. Hope, she wrote, is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul. Hope sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. Fuse's theme of hope this month is so just right with the winter we've had and the spring that's finally unfolding. And have you noticed the birds this year? When it was snowing and snowing and snowing some more, not very long ago, the birds were singing loudly. Wasn't it odd? There we were, all in winter, shoveling, growing higher and higher, well-dressed, fully wintry in wintry clothes, and spring birdsong filled the air. This year, more than most, the birds have felt like harbingers of what's to come, and we've needed that. Hope, the thing with feathers, is like an open-ended prayer, a yearning for our heart's delight. Soft, silky, feathery, we can hardly describe hope, much less hold it. We long for it when life throws us a curve, when we've been badly hurt, or betrayed, when we've suffered a terrible loss. We long for hope when facing a grim diagnosis, and when we feel lost, as we all do, knowing that this life is a gift, but not knowing how to live it, how to live it fully. Hope, the thing with feathers, darts in and out of our lives like a bird, fleeting and elusive. Like a remarkable bird at the feeder, it's unpredictable. We never know when hope will alight and make our day with its beauty, change everything with its brilliance. How long will hope stay? If only we could cage it. When it flies away, it feels for all the world as if we'll never know it again. But hope returns. We know that from experience. After a bad fall, in time we get up and start again. After a wrenching loss, in time we will smile and we'll know joy again. Over and over up at Maine Medical, terminal patients, their faces light up with hope, with unexpected joy that has come their way despite their circumstances. Hope arouses our curiosity. Where is it? Where is it hovering? When a flock of birds swoops away, where do they go, we wonder? What will they do next? Where are they sleeping? When are they coming back? And in the way that things with feathers do, our wondering calls us forward into a new place, a future that's unknown, a place of possibility. When it enters our heart again after a time of feeling hopelessness, like the chickadee that lands so close we can touch it, we feel a familiar quickening, a rising ease, a lifting of the spirit. We know our place again in the world. That shift feels almost palpable. We feel deep down within that things will work out. We can again, as the hymn says, lift our gaze toward distant view. Hope calls us forward. Hope shines brightness on our future. Surely hope is here among us right now. As are birds that fly out of sight, but whose song we still hear. Chances are hope is bright and alive in some of us this weekend. And chances are some of us are listening hard for it, yearning for it. Listen. We don't have to wait for the bird of hope to drop by. As elusive as it is, we can cultivate it. Just as we put out seed and suet for the birds at the feeder, we can invite hope to be a regular with us. As Unitarian Universalists, we are well placed to do this. We invite hope every time we make a difference, every time we work to make the world just a little bit better. Hope pulls our faith into the future. I heard this message louder than ever at the first General Assembly I attended. It was in Louisville, Kentucky, a couple of years ago. Was anybody else there? Not that one. General Assembly, or GA, is the annual meeting of all Unitarian Universalists. Imagine singing Spirit of Life in the same room with 5,000 kindred spirits. It's really powerful. It seemed that year that every other workshop at GA, and there were so very many dozens of them, was about justice. Justice for immigrants, justice for incarcerated people, for hungry people, justice for people who are marginalized because of their race, their sexual orientation, their gender identity, reproductive justice, environmental justice. The messaging was incredibly loud and really effective. The goals were lofty, beautifully articulated, inspiring. You could feel our energy around hope. Ours is an aspirational faith, actively hopeful. You know how hard it is to tell somebody what our faith is about? You could just say that. How inspiring. It's a faith that calls us into a better world, a more just future. It's a faith that calls us forward. John Cobb, a professor of process theology in the 20th century, was a foremost North American theologian. In his 1969 book, God and the World, he coined the phrase, the call forward. You may have heard of it. He described the forward motion and psychological growth of humans over time as a continuous breaking out of established patterns into new possibilities. Breaking out of established patterns into new possibilities. How hopeful. Cobb believed that God challenges humans, and that while moving forward doesn't always feel good, we are called forward nonetheless. He said that moving forward requires our choosing to do so. that it's an ever-changing possibility, the power that makes for novelty, creativity, and life. We each experience the call forward in our own way, and what inspires us is ours to name or not to name. And when we contemplate our purpose, our deepest dreams, when we feel called forward, moved to say yes, to take a step, whatever the source of our faith, we are experiencing hope. The poet William Stafford explores something like the call forward in his poem called The Way It Is. There's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread. But it is hard for others to see, and while you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen, people get hurt or die, and you suffer and get old. Nothing you can do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. His thread is something like Dickinson's hope, the thing with feathers. What if each of us has a thread, like a song all our own that sounds throughout our life? What if a note sounded at our birth, unique and beautiful? The start of a song, a call that pulls us sure and true toward what matters. A tune without words that never stops, that inspires us to say yes. What song calls you forward? We want to hear the song. Our hearts yearn to say yes. Our being longs to vibrate with yes. Listen, the birds are singing. When we hear their song and look up and around to see where they might be, when we look to see where they're going, may we too be called out of the everyday, forward, up and around, called to hope. Tell us, please, the poet sings. Tell us all you can about that voice. Teach us how to listen, how to hear. Teach us all you can of saying yes. Hush. Listen.